With Generation Z now entering the workforce, organizations must adapt their approaches to attract, engage, and retain this unique and tech-savvy generation. As this age group begins to dominate the talent pool, it is essential for organizations to grasp their preferences, motivations, and expectations in order to attract, retain, and maximize the potential of Gen Z employees. I'm Joe McIntyre, host of Yo's Back to Work, and on this episode, our guest is JT O'Donnell, CEO and founder of Work It Daily. JT will join us to explore the key insights, actionable strategies, and expert advice that will help organizations tailor recruitment efforts and build a thriving workforce that resonates with Generation Z. JT brings a wealth of expertise with over 18 years of experience in HR and recruiting. As a top voice on LinkedIn, she is highly regarded for her insights and contributions to the career management and outplacement services industry. JT, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So let's begin by understanding the characteristics that define Gen Z just a little bit. How does this generation differ from previous ones? And, you know, what kind of attributes should recruiters keep in mind when targeting Gen Z talent?
So I always tell people to look at some of the things that were unique to their upraising. So when you think about technology, for starters, we would say that they are the TikTok generation, and that usage of that platform has impacted how they do a lot of things. So we talk a lot about the TikTokification of recruiting and how important it's going to become for you to build recruitment marketing and employer branding that speaks to them. This is a generation that's used to discovering things and finds joy in discovering things. So discovering your company, discovering your job, that's something that is important to them, that it gives them a sense of control. It feels like they're owning that process. So you have to be thinking about that as well. As a result of being raised in this time, they're naturally, I don't want to say pessimistic, but certainly guarded and will do their homework. So they are looking for authenticity. That word gets overused a lot in our space, but this is a generation that will figure you out and call you out if you aren't really being your true authentic company self. So when you think about branding from that standpoint, so you have to be on top of that. You have to make sure that that's out there for them to consume so that they can make an informed decision. And only then will they decide to invest, I guess I would say, their time and energy in pursuing an opportunity with you. So in summary, I would say what makes this generation unique is they are no longer job seekers. They are job shoppers. Mm. And so with that, you have to approach the entire recruitment process through that lens.
Oh, that's fascinating. I guess, I grew up, I'm a millennial, I grew up with online shopping, but like not until I was probably in middle school or high school. This generation, everything has been online. I think the transition from millennials where, you know, part of my upbringing was not internet-based. A lot of schoolwork is not internet-based, and then it eventually got there. This generation has grown up entirely in the internet, and it's got to really impact and frame the way you not only think about the world, but specifically just jobs in general.
You nailed it, Joe. That's absolutely it. You know, when you think about in-app purchases, if you know what that means, mm-hmm. This generation is used to it. And so why would be looking for a work be any different?
Yeah.
The one other thing I would just say about them too, is that when you look at the pandemic made us purpose-driven more so than we've ever been in our lives across all generations, for sure. But this generation is about balance and is going to make sure from the get-go of their careers that they are creating balanced lives and finding a way to fit work into it. So you have to keep that in mind as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to communicating with Gen Z, specifically during the recruitment process, are there any steps that may have worked with previous generations that companies should avoid with young folks, either questions you should or shouldn't ask? I think you talked about authenticity, but anything else that comes to mind?
You know, it's interesting you say that. So I think, you know, earlier generations were rooted in competitiveness and being the best. So there's a book out there called Tribal Leadership that I've been recommending for years. And it's because it talks about the transition away from the me culture, which a large number of our business models have been built around, which is the lone wolf culture. I'm going to be the best, and I'm going to be hired because I'm told I'm the best. And when you create those environments, you create a competitive culture, right? People are not looking for the best idea of the group. They're looking to make sure that their idea is the one that's taken so they can take the credit. With Gen Z, we're seeing a complete shift away from that. They are far more collaborative. They really want to recognize the team as a whole. And so they don't want that level of competitiveness that you see there. And I think that means you have to shift how you approach. So, for example, we've often built these online practices where fill in all of your information and tell us what's different about you. And oh yes, answer a bunch of questions and you might get a call from us. It doesn't work for Gen Z. I mean, they can't stand the online application process right now. They would just as soon skip it entirely. And so it's amazing to me that companies are still out there pouring the amount of money they are pouring into online and job boards and places like that, trying to get volume applies. You're not going to see it from this generation. Like I said, they are job shoppers. Your money is much better spent going out and sharing with that audience where they live. And that it's an expectation, right? If I'm already here, you know, again, I'll use on TikTok or, you know, Instagram. If I'm already here and your ad comes in and I learn something about you as an organization, I'm far more likely to go research and pursue you. So whereas I think older generations almost would have been skeptical of that in the past because they still felt the norm was to go to the job board and do all the application process and then be chosen, be the chosen one. So that's probably the biggest shift that I've seen.
Yeah, I think for a lot of not only people, but companies, TikTok can be scary. And for some, even LinkedIn is still a little scary when it comes to jobs and job posting. So what sorts of strategies have you come across that have been successful on TikTok and even LinkedIn, I guess, in approaching and attracting this generation?
Well, and I think I better set the tone before I get into this because, you know, I've had a lot of companies say to me, I don't want to be on TikTok for whatever reason. It's going to get banned this or that. I'll be honest. If you don't want to be on TikTok, that's fine. But you need to know the Zoom moment is coming. I call it the Zoom moment. So you remember before the pandemic, people were using Zoom, but they weren't really using Zoom for business, right? And then all of a sudden the pandemic hit and you had no choice. You had to get on a platform like Zoom or whatever it was, but it completely changed. And now everyone is fully capable of using this tool that they were fighting for many, many years. I mean, Zoom was around for a while. We're about to have that moment when it comes to video for companies, their employer brand, their recruitment marketing strategy. So whether you don't want to be on TikTok or not, there's no excuse. If you don't want to be on LinkedIn, there's something called YouTube. It's still, Google owns it. It's still one of the largest search engines, and they're putting more and more resource behind it becoming the main place because they know that's where people are learning. And so to not create video and even put it on YouTube and distribute it on the other channels, because once you build one video, it can be distributed across all the different channels, is a wasted opportunity. Then unfortunately, a lot of companies, when that Zoom moment hits, when that watershed moment hits, are going to be behind. So I don't say this to scare people. I just tell them that is the reality. And for those individuals out there saying, oh, JT, I've tried to tell my executive team and they don't get it. When they come running in the door one day and say, why aren't we doing video? You're going to be blamed. So you've got to get really squeaky right now. And you've got to push them to do this because that is the number one way that Gen Z will consume your brand and take action on it is video, TikTokification. So no excuses. You need to be doing video across all of those platforms, and the sooner you embrace it, the better.
And as a side note question here, does it need to be a highly produced video where you have videographers in there? I'm assuming no, especially with TikTok, but I think that could also be a barrier, perceived barrier, when you have the tools right in your pocket.
Yeah, you said it, you nailed it. So I'm under NDA, but I am privy to some technology that will come out within the year that is likely going to cause this. This moment. And when you see that all it takes is for a hiring manager to turn on a camera and just share what's going on, you nailed it. They don't want overproduced.
Yeah.
They don't need that. They just need you to tell them what they need to know. You need to be real. You need to be accessible so that they can identify and say, oh, that's a manager I could see working for, or that's a peer I could see working alongside of, right? So getting your team on camera, just sharing, it's easy. Like you said, it's in your pocket and you can do it. And the sooner you do it, the better. And again, no excuses because we've all been on video. We've been doing video. So you can't tell me that you can't do this, right? There's no excuse.
Right. And I want to kind of circle back a little bit to the idea of authenticity and purpose in work. Authenticity is about being who you are, but sometimes it's difficult to showcase who you are as an organization, showcase what it's really like to work there, what it's really like to be a part of that team. What are the best ways organizations can be authentic in their recruiting practices and communicate either their mission, their values in a way that resonates with Gen Z?
If you just sit down with your group and think about the components of a workday, what's involved and what you need from employees in order for them to be successful, but also feel successful, right? You need them to do great work, but you also need them to be really happy with the work they're doing. I think when you sit down with your best team members and break that down, there are, I don't want to say milestones, but more like key stakeholder points or something along those lines. They're just very clear that, and once you synthesize those down as a team, you can say, wow, there's probably five or six key things we should, you know, explain in order for them to understand what it would like to be successful here, both for us and for them. And once you synthesize that down, and that's literally, you know, a session where you're all talking about it and saying, you know, what makes each of us successful and where are the synergies across that? And how did we all get there? And how could we coach somebody to be successful? That then becomes your soundbite. So an example of that would be, if you know that one of the things that would make a person successful in this project management role at your company is that you all have figured out a way to check in daily via GChat and you all do this check-in, or everyone's ready to do an update on Monday. That would be something to explain. Hey, one of the ways that you're going to be successful here when you come on as a project manager is to know how we communicate. We're all really into this GChat that we do once a day where we check in with one another. So be sure that you do that. That little tip, if you think about that, right? If you think about what we love about social media, it's been giving us tips and hacks and tricks and things that we can do to be better. That's the kind of thing that you want to showcase. And if you want to learn more about the job, go check out the job here. So you don't need to, I don't want to see a video of you telling me all about the job description top to bottom. I just want to hear you talk about that moment. And we'll have to coin that moment. Joe, if you come up with a good name for that moment, that's what we'll have to call it. But those five or six things that you can pull out, that's the soundbite, that's the video clip. And then say, now for more information on the job itself, go check out the link.
Seems easy. Just be honest about what it takes to succeed, but harder said than done.
Yeah. I think it will come with time though, like anything. You know, the early adopters of TikTok, we watched them in awe, whether they were dancing or doing whatever. But now, you know, TikTok's tagline is TikTok taught me. And you've seen a lot of people put their egos aside and get on there and really serve an audience and provide value and get comfortable. We as recruiting organizations are going to have to do that thing. We have to serve our Gen Z audience in the way that they're used to. And we will pick it up very quickly.
What is flexibility, in air quotes there, look like for Gen Z? Is it just ability to work from home? Is it different hours? How do they perceive it maybe differently than you would, I would, someone else from a different generation would?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. So I think we've got a complex situation going on here in the sense that Gen Z might want total flexibility in that, tell me what I need to do for a job and let me come in when I want to and let me work when I want to. I mean, who wouldn't want that, right? The problem is that's not really right for everyone. And we also know for a fact that there's a lot of learning and growing that goes on through osmosis, working alongside others that are more senior than you. So, you know, I think that Gen Z is not going to have a problem being able to go in if they know the benefit to going in is that osmosis, that learning, that growing, that ability, that visibility too, in order to move up in their role. And also to build those relationships. You know, a lot of the people that I hear that say that want to stay fully remote are more senior. They don't want to make any new networking relationships. They're happy with what they have and they just want to do their job. I'm really concerned about that because that is the beginning to the end of your career. Your network is your net worth. The entire life of your career, you need to be networking, you need to be growing and collaborating, and to isolate yourself like that and not build a network is going to put a lot of remote workers at risk if they do not know how to address that. So for Gen Z, I think that idea of hybrid and flexibility and allowing them to get to the doctor's appointments or, you know, do other things in their life that are important to them, but still be seen as a contributor is their definition of flexibility. Now, what that looks like at your company, that you need to define and embrace and support. So I think if you say to them, look, this is all the ways that we're going to support you living your best life around these hours, they'll be okay with it. They'll make their choices. But yeah, for me, I think overall hybrid's probably going to be the best classic definition to answer your question.
Yeah. And I think my next question ties into that idea a little bit when it comes to continuous learning and growth opportunities. You mentioned osmosis as a big key way that people learn in general. But how can organizations emphasize their commitment to professional development, again, especially in this hybrid remote world, whatever we are right now, and provide a clear career path to engage Gen Z to show them where they are now and how they get there when you're not seeing it as much as we probably were 3 years ago, you know, day in and day out?
So I'm going to challenge an assumption out there that we need to build these really strong career paths for Gen Z at our companies. I don't think that we can say that. I just don't. I think companies are changing too much. Every job is temporary. I've been saying that for years. I truly believe it. If you're lucky, an employee starts with you. And if at the end of the 2-year cycle, an 18-month to 2-month cycle, there's a opportunity to go to the next level at your company, fantastic. If not, they might go someplace else. And I think that that is going to always be Gen Z's mindset. They'll be looking for growth. What I think they want to see are companies that are supporting them to grow and get as much out of the assignment or the 2-year stint that they're on. And what they would really love to see is them provide them coaching resources to help them figure out what they want in their next 2 years. I don't think managers should be that. I really don't. I think we need to stop thinking that managers should be able to manage and be these exceptional coaches, life coaches for their employees. They shouldn't. They should be good managers. So smart companies are using organizations like ours to outsource the coaching. So they say, okay, we're going to give Gen Z access to career coaches who they can go have candid conversations with about what's going on, help them get the most out of their time there. And if they want to stay at that company, help them plan what that next move looks like. And if not, help them figure out where it is. I think the companies that do that and don't get worried about that and say, let's give them the career coaching they need outside of our organization are the ones that will see the best return, because Gen Z will, again, appreciate them for really investing in them. I don't think a manager can really say they have the best interests of their employee at heart when they're sitting there trying to figure out how to make sure the employee stays, even if that employee really isn't growing in the direction they want to go in. So we need to stop thinking that. We need to be honest and transparent about it and allow managers just to manage and coach when they can on the job as it fits. But my advice for anybody that wants to recruit a lot more Gen Z, you need to be thinking about in your employee assistance program, your benefits package, whatever it is, you need to start thinking about giving them true coaching where they can go and talk to somebody outside the organization. That's going to be the loyalty. Why would you leave a company that's trying to help build you and giving you the resource that you need to speak privately? Because it is what they're used to. I will tell you this, you know, the older generations, any kind of coaching was a sign of weakness. There's something wrong with you. But Gen Z has been raised on coaching. They've been raised and organized everything since their infancy. So they don't see it as a sign of weakness. They see coaching as a path to greatness. So any organization that's going to give them that coaching, that's one they'd like to stay loyal to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. On, I guess, a similar kind of line there, we talked about authenticity. I want to get a little bit into corporate responsibility, sustainability, and even DE&I a little bit. Certainly, the way the workforce has changed over the past few years is, at least in my eyes, a positive change and driven in many ways by Gen Z, making companies more responsible, focusing more on sustainability, and certainly improving their DE&I efforts. Where, for some companies, I think it can be a challenge to know where to start, whether, you know, how do we promote that we're doing good? How do we promote that we're making improvements in DE&I can be perceived as, oh, wow, that's a lot to put on our plates. So what are some approaches, I guess, that you have seen, you have worked through to emphasize, you know, what we're doing is good, we're to showcase our responsibility, to showcase our sustainability, and to showcase our DE&I efforts a little bit more?
So the first thing I'll say is that the ones that fail are the ones that at the very top of the organization, it wasn't truly internalized and supported and believed in. So if your top, you know, C-suite is coming to you and saying, we need to do this because, you know, we're not getting enough Gen Z, we have a problem. That's not, Gen Z is going to see right through that because your motivations aren't correct.
Yeah.
So I would say make sure that the motivation at the top level is, no, this is something we want as a whole. And so get together and decide what you believe in and how far you want to take this and how much you wanted to be a part of your company and own that, admit to it and own it. And say, this is how much we want this to be a part of who we are. And there's going to be a wide range there, you know, but once you accept it and say, we're ready to commit to this, I think it gets a lot easier to design it and support it and say, this is what we're willing to do. And this is how we're doing it. What I like out of that is even if you start small and you own it, and I would encourage everyone to start small, don't think you're going to do these grand sweeping things, find one part of it and do it well. Right. So if sustainability is the thing that matters more to you, or you feel like the C-suite's more dialed into it, go there first. If it's DE&I, then go there. But whatever it is, start small, get it right, and then build. And if you do that, they're going to have a lot more respect for you than if you make this, oh, these sweeping statements. And I've seen way too many companies say, we believe in it, so let's put out banners and let's tell everybody how great we are. And they get called out. Yeah. You know, this generation is too smart. They can dig it up. You know, they know how to find out if you're really doing these things or not, whether it's through social media or in the actual interview process. So they're that savvy with it. So you're much better off being transparent and being clear about how committed you are to this. And I would again say, start small and build.
Yeah. I mean, all ties back again to the authenticity part. It's not just about what the job is. It's about who we are. And if you're not authentic about who you are and what you care about as a company, yeah, anybody's going to see through that. And especially a generation that has been taught by their parents and everything to be skeptical in general. And it's just, it's easy to see through now.
It is. It is so easy. And anybody that doesn't believe that or thinks that you're still going to be able to snowball with telling them how great your benefits package is and how awesome you are, you're going to suffer.
Yeah.
You're going to be called out.
Yeah. Especially for younger generation, branding has been this kind of big thing, not just brands in general, not just employer brands, but individual brands. People have their individual brands as an employee, as someone who has, you know, different hobbies or on social media, whatever it may be. But when it comes to employer brands specifically, are there any sorts of tactics or any sort of, parts of an employer brand that are really meaningful to Gen Z? And I'm sure being authentic is one of them. But when it comes to employer brand, how does that differ maybe from just your general brand?
So great question. So first of all, I just want to say that when it comes to employer brand for Gen Z, you do not want to try to be perfect. So only focusing on what's positive about you will backfire. The best strategy is to sit there and say, we are who we are. So here's who is going to do really well here. And here's who's just not going to enjoy it here. So when you start to paint that picture in your employer branding efforts, that's the authenticity. That's the, we're not for everyone. We know we're not for everyone. But if this sounds like you, then you might thrive here. You might find that level of satisfaction that you're looking for here. So that's what you have to define about yourselves first. And the best way to do that is really look at the people who have survived here. What are their traits and qualities? And also look at the people that failed miserably. Who didn't last? And what was wrong there? That kind of honesty needs to come out in your branding. And when you approach that, they're going to say, okay, here's a company who's being real, who's not trying to snow me and only talk about the good parts of their brand. They're talking about that. And now, ironically, when you're almost selling people against you, like really, you're not going to want to be here if it's not this. And we don't do all of these things. So if you're looking for, you know, ping pong tables and beer kegs, and we just don't have that. Instead, we choose to spend our money here. Right? That kind of story. That's when you get them, because you're giving the logic behind your choices and why you are what you are as a company. I think companies have gotten afraid of kind of just being honest. You can't be everything. It's a job. It's work. You can't be everything. And they know that. So really going at it that way is really what's most attractive to Gen Z, is that tell us you're not perfect and tell us who won't work there as much as who will.
Yeah. JT, we've covered a lot when it comes to recruiting and also retaining folks who are in that Generation Z era there. Is there anything that we're missing? Anything you also want to highlight that we haven't touched on, whether it talks about recruiting, retaining talent that have been successful with Gen Z? Anything that we haven't talked about yet?
One thing I would say is this: please don't push them to overhype your company. So I've seen a lot of people want to get them in and say, oh, the easiest way we're going to recruit Gen Z is we're going to hire a few Gen Z and we want them to go out and talk about how great it is to work here. They need some time in the role. And even then, they're going to decide if they want to share anything about their company and what they like about it. But they don't want to feel like they're being, again, that can come across really inauthentic, right? Like they know that their friends can tell they're being pushed to do that. And I say that because seeing a lot of people, for example, say, go put reviews up on some of the review sites and pushing employees, especially Gen Z employees, to do this. It doesn't work. It doesn't make them feel good. They will choose to do that if they want to, right? Remember, they're job shoppers. So they will choose to do a review. They will choose to share in their time. What I would say though, is if you're looking to involve them in the recruitment marketing efforts, ask them, what kinds of things, now that you're on board, what stories would you have loved to heard from us? Or what stories, now that you're here, do you wish were out there? Let them help you figure out that storytelling factor, that TikTokification of your recruitment marketing content, because they will come up with some genius things to share. And that's when you can involve them in the process. So I hope that makes sense, as opposed to telling them to do something, invite them into it and ask, you know, what can we collaborate on together? What would you like to have seen? That's where you're going to get your best bang for your buck.
Well, JT, I want to thank you in closing here for sharing your expertise on tailoring recruitment strategies to engage Gen Z. Super insightful, as always. Understanding the unique characteristics, preferences, and values of this generation, and all generations, obviously, is crucial for orgs who want to attract and retain top talent, especially as this workforce continues to evolve and get younger every single year. So if our listeners want to get in touch with you, have questions for you about your background or your expertise, how should they get in touch with you?
Yeah, well, definitely hit me up on LinkedIn. Send me a connection request. Just customize it and say that you heard me here on this podcast. That way I'll know that you're coming from the podcast and I can give them a shout out. And also head over to workitdaily.com. In our menu bar at the top, we have a tab that says for employers. There's a lot of great resources there and a way to get in touch with me directly.
Awesome. For our listeners, remember to subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or your preferred platform. For more episodes or navigating the ever-changing world of work, we have plenty more episodes to choose from. For Back to Work, I'm Joe McIntyre. Thanks for listening.